Strong is brought to you by Blickman Engineering, home of the top-tier brewing stand. Visit them online at blickmanengineering.com.
Time for the beer radio you've been looking for. This is the show that dispels myths, tackles the toughest topics, and makes no apologies for geeking out on beer. Hosted by two guys that drink before they think, Jamil Zainashev and John Palmer. This is Brew Strong.
Hey, howdy, hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Greetings, cretins. Welcome to Brew Strong.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah. Well, welcome. It's like we're until you go away. You know, you'll help me get here.
I think your espresso's kicking in.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
You're quite lively, John. I'll give you a triple espresso every time. You're quite worked up.
Yeah. Yeah, would indeed.
You are quite perky.
This is worked up for Palmer?
Oh, yeah. This is like, oh, my God. Better tie him down.
Yeah.
So a triple espresso gets him back to zero, basically?
Yes. Yes.
Not quite so mellow.
Yes, he's normally a little more like this. Yes. Let's jump, Palmer. Greetings, greetings.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. That's what my family says.
That's why I spend so much time trying to wind you up.
That's true.
And say insane things to get you to see what happens, and pretty much nothing. He's still the same. It's go like water off a duck's back. He just keeps going.
No matter what you say, call him ugly, and he goes, oh, you have a good point.
No, I mean, He knows. He just ignores what I'm saying and just keeps going with whatever else he's got. You know, so I can
it's say a one-track mind
and do just about anything, and he just keeps going.
At least you know what you're getting. Consistent guy,
nice, calm, steady. Right. Unless you give him the triple espresso, and then you see him all wound up and crazy like he is now.
Well, we're talking about water, which is one of my favorite topics in brewing. Yeah. So.
Well, you know, one of my favorite things is. Blickman Engineering. You know, absolutely. You know, those fine folks at Blickman Engineering, they make all sorts of innovative and crazy great brewing equipment that innovates your brew day.
Yeah, so their new Brew Easy system that's coming out soon.
Yeah.
It's in production.
I think it's really cool. And they've been a great sponsor of the show. They've been sponsoring us for years.
Yeah.
Years, absolutely years and years.
And they
years.
Still like us.
I don't know about that, but maybe they're like you. Oh, me, well. Never so sure.
Yeah, you're right.
But who likes me? Nobody. That's really it. That's pretty much it.
All the women standing outside the door right now.
They're here to see the chiropractor across the hall.
Ah.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. We saw some interesting chiropractic activity yesterday.
We did. Just
like, holy crap.
Yeah, that ankle's pretty high. Isn't it?
Didn't know she could bend like that. Here you go. All righty. I think you could, you need a little patio out here, serve some drinks, you know, and a little something to watch. I'm just saying. I think that'd be something special. Well, speaking of special, we have a special guest with us who joined us for the last show, and we talked about the waters of Dublin and London. And we wanted to continue that series and talk about the waters of Burton and Bavaria today, a couple of my favorite places. Mm-hmm. And, known for some great beers in these various places. Yeah. So
we have Martin Brungard with us. He's a water engineer by trade, really. Tell us about what your role in water engineering is, Martin. I mean, a lot of people probably don't know much about this aspect.
More typically, I'm working with the dirty side, the used side.
Oh, okay, wastewater.
But I also do deal with the water treatment side, too, so it's all good.
Okay.
It's all wet.
Yeah. And wet is good.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious.
That's how we like it, yeah.
What is the most common misconception about dealing with wastewater? Because I immediately had all sorts of horrible things pop into my head, but I'm sure I'm just a moron.
Well, that's true, regardless.
Well, probably the most relishing thought is that every bit of water that you're drinking has been through something as gross as you can imagine.
No! I was worried that that was going to be your answer.
Well, it's like all the air in the world, all the oxygen molecules in the world have been in and out of people's lungs over the course of history. So you're not breathing air that hasn't already been breathed by somebody else. I imagine you're never drinking any water that hasn't already, somebody's already peed it out, somewhere.
That's pleasant.
There you go. You wanted to know.
I don't know. I didn't really want to know. I don't know why I asked.
Because like you're a moron.
That's like water through a duct's urethra.
And we're not even drinking, I tell you. Yeah.
So is Florida going to...
Says you, I am.
Speak for yourself.
So, Martin, I imagine you're glad to be out of Florida where the water, the whole state could subside into the ocean at any time or be swallowed by a sinkhole.
Florida has great benefits, and that's plainly apparent as I'm preparing for a winter snowstorm right here in Indianapolis. But, I've spent 50-plus years in Florida, so I love the place, too.
Yeah, yeah. But, just to go off on a tangent, I mean, sinkholes in Florida. I mean, I'm okay with earthquakes out here in California. Not a big deal. Just kind of, look forward to the next small one. But, sinkholes opening up underneath me in Florida, that kind of wigs me out.
Oh, it's not so bad. In most cases, you know it's coming.
Really? Okay.
To a small degree. I mean, it's sort semi
slow. As you see the ground level flash past your eyes.
Yes.
You have at least a couple of seconds before you die. Before you you see it happening. You see your death. You envision what's going to happen to you before it happens. Several seconds.
Yeah.
You see your life. Yourself, you can see your life flashing before your eyes. You got plenty of time for that. So don't worry.
Yeah, sure.
And also, for plenty of people who live in Florida, they deserve it. It's good. I'm sure that, well, not you, Martin, but I'm sure those things suck up a lot of deadbeat dads,
Okay.
Okay, well, Burton in Bavaria. So, isn't Burton in London, as I show my ignorance? How different are these two waters?
Oh, first of all, Burton is a good ways from London. Of course, England isn't the biggest country in the world, but Burton is actually located in the English Midlands, so it's kind of halfway up, and London is way down in the southeastern part. But Burton is truly a unique location.
It's a whole different geologic region.
Huh? Yeah, geologically speaking, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And it turns out that, I did an extensive study of the geology trying to figure out what the heck is going on here. And it turns out that the Burton water quality literally doesn't exist more than a mile or two downstream of
Trent?
Town of Burton.
Okay.
So,
Burton-on-Trent.
It's really kind of magical that people figured out, hey, they got really good water here for brewing these pale ales, and, it worked really well. And the other good thing about the Burton water, it's so darn hard, but the alkalinity isn't really, really high.
Okay.
So it turns out that, John would know this, the residual alkalinity is actually almost zero. So it's really well suited to brewing pale beers.
Okay. Now, Burton-on-Trent, I mean, this name, I guess it's probably self-evident for anybody from the UK, but for us here in the States, a lot of people may not know what that really means. It means the town of Burton on the Trent River. Am I correct?
Well, in English parlance, it would be on River Trent.
Okay.
they do things like, just like they
not Trent River
on the wrong
River
side
Trent.
Of the road. They have their river names Bass Ackwards.
Okay. Very good. That's good to know. So, you know, they have a river next to the town, but do they brew with the river water or do they brew with the groundwater? What makes Burton water tick?
Well, it turns out that the river water does play a teeny little part in the overall water quality in Burton. The groundwater is where all the all the minerals are coming from, and there's this sort of silty clay layer underneath the town that prevents the let's go way back.
Okay.
West of Burton, there's a great big monster gypsum deposit up in the hills back there. And it turns out that, water or rainwater falling on the hills causes that water to go through the gypsum and into the groundwater, and it ends up coming up in the river valley around Burton.
Okay.
So this very mineralized water from deep is going through this kind of clay, silty layer that, doesn't really let much water through, but it will get through.
Okay.
And it sort of seeps into the near surface, the sand and gravels that are all along the river.
Uh-huh.
And so that is what the original brewers used to use. So they just, and you're talking about a 20 or 30 foot well, and they just pop a well in the ground alongside the river there, and they would be sucking out this nice minerally water, but it was a little bit diluted
by the river.
Because of the river.
Okay.
And, it made great beer. But then, the popularity of Burton beers was so high that, I don't remember how many breweries they had in Burton, but it was a lot, 20, 30 breweries. And Burton is a very small place. It's two miles long or 3 miles long, something, really, really small place.
Okay.
And all those breweries sucking out the groundwater, well, guess what? After a while, there's not enough of the deep minerally water coming up, and all they're sucking out is the river water.
Okay, let me stop you there. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk more about what's going on there. We're back after this.
In a world where everything has been lost.
What happened to the city? It's in ruins.
Only one man has the ancient knowledge to restore civilization.
I need a drink. Oh no, the liquor store's been ransacked.
You looking for beer, stranger? Boy, all the liquor got drunk up in the first 25 minutes of the apocalypse.
Wait, there's still some bottles over... Oh, no. Those are non-alcoholic beer.
I reckon you better stick to arrowroot tea and a desperate nomadic existence like the rest of us.
People, I'm a home brewer. I know how to make alcohol.
Oh, it can't be done.
Come with me if you want the beer. Okay, I'm gonna need some big plastic buckets.
He is the chosen one. The prophecies say that he's gonna get us wasted.
Someone start heating water.
From the creators of Northern Brewer, the people who brought you massive selection and superior customer service, comes the Home Brewer.
Blickman Engineering. Think innovation, passion, quality, and customer service. Blickman Gear is designed by brewers to give you a sense of pride in your equipment. At Blickman, they know what makes brewing a pain and build gear that makes it fun. Like the intuitive beer gun, a completely different approach to filling bottles. The Therminator wort chiller, a new take on a plate chiller that's sized for flow, performance, and the high groundwater temps homebrewers face every day. The Brewmometer, a brilliant weldless thermometer design with brewing parameters right on the dial. The Auto Sparge, ultimate simplicity for preventing an overflow or running your mash tun dry. And much more, like the modular top-tier brewing stand, conical fermenters, and their Boilermaker brew pots. With more cutting-edge equipment coming soon, keep up with the latest from Blickman at BlickmanEngineering.com and stay on the cutting edge.
Hey brewers, it's planting season. Have you ever dreamt of walking through your own hop garden? Well, look no further than Woodburn, Oregon and the Crosby Family Hop Farm. Blake Crosby and his family have been passionately growing hops for five generations. And right now, they're taking orders for 2014 rhizomes for all retail and wholesale customers. The Crosbys know how to grow hops and are here to help you establish your family's very own successful hop garden. In fact, when you plant a hop rhizome from the Crosbys, you're using the same plant your favorite professional brewer bought his hops from. Friendly professional service, fast shipment, and quality hops at competitive prices. The Crosby family brings all of this to you. Call 503-982-5166 or visit bcrosbyhops.com and let Blake Crosby and the Crosby Hop Farm help make your hop garden a reality. bcrosbyhops.com. Hops from the Crosby Family Farm to yours.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for any beer style. I want a Cicerone. The Cicerone certification program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone program: certified beer server, certified Cicerone, and master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerones are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
All right, BN Army, it's trivia time. What's the only homebrew shop with over 1,000 recipe kits, $4.99 shipping on orders over $100, and is also home of the Wolf shirt? The one and only answer is Austin Homebrew Supply. For over 20 years, they've specialized in creating recipes such as the best-selling Texas Blonde Ale, Apocalypso, Hop Bomb 2.0, and Double Chocolate Stout. And they just recently unveiled their small grain kits that produce 1 gallon of beer. Visit AustinHomebrew.com to browse their extensive catalog of equipment and ingredients. They also have mini clone recipes of your favorite commercial beers. They're the exclusive retailer of BrewVent Yeast Fuel as well, Yeast Nutrient, and the all-new Bodybuilder. Follow Austin Homebrew Supply on Google Plus to participate in video hangouts on popular brewing topics. So visit AustinHomebrew.com today and make sure you sign up for their weekly email with news and specials. Austin Homebrew Supply, AustinHomebrew.com.
Back to the two guys that know how to turn beer into beer. This is Brew Strong.
All right, during the break, we talked about calories. We talked about rescuing canvases from some Walmart paintings. And we talked about, I think chocolate. That was it. And then I ran into some hot babe at the parking meter.
What, did you injure her?
No.
I mean, you know, you've ran.
Literally run into her. Oh, okay. I spoke with her at the meter. No, she spoke to me. She said, I'm good.
You're like, I didn't ask.
I looked at her and I'm like, yeah,
you are. You're trying to hand her a quarter?
No. Okay.
Was she hot for Martinez or just hot?
I think both.
Oh, it depends what Martinez likes.
All right, let's get back to...
let's get back to some
Martin
fun.
Had an interesting story he was telling before you so rudely cut him off. He was talking about the brewers in Burton, you know, using up all their groundwater, and the character of the water started to change. So I was fascinated by the story, and John just rudely cut
him off. So then they start, you know, that sinking wells into the deeper aquifer and drawing up that minerally water. And they found out that, hey, that water is a little bit too strong. You're talking about sulfate content that's in the 800 ppm range.
Okay.
So it's really, really sulfurous, stinky, not very good water to brew with.
So this aquifer that's below Burton, it's not the same as the aquifer below London.
No.
Okay.
Long way distant.
Okay, interesting. And so completely different characters underlying the two cities.
Absolutely. And on top of that, as I said, the Burton water, it's literally you could only get it right there in, you know, within a mile or two of town. Beyond that, it just didn't exist. And a lot of places in England, you know, they were looking for it. They were trying to find something like it, and it just doesn't exist. There's a couple of towns that actually do have a lot of gypsum-type water, and they could probably have duplicated it, but, you know, whatever. But after a while, the chemists of the world figured out what was going on in Burton, and they, you know, were able to say, oh, well, you just need to add gypsum to the water, and for the most part, that created Burtonized water. There's a little bit more than gypsum, but, yeah. You know, it's not much more.
So is like the secret ingredient, is it calcium, is it sulfate, is it the combination of the two?
Certainly sulfate plays a major role in Burton water.
Okay.
You're talking about 300 plus ppm sulfate that really sets this thing apart. And the other thing that kicks it off is because we're talking about gypsum, and gypsum is calcium sulfate. The other big thing that made Burton beers famous was they had a lot of calcium in the water, and calcium causes yeast to flocculate and settle out of the beer really quick. Mm-hmm. So Burton beers were known for being like really clear, super clear beers and quick, you know, quickly. So, you know, the drinkers and the publicans and all that, those folks, they loved that beer because it just looked great and it tasted, you know, it was really nice and dry and
tasted different from the other beers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. So I guess from what you said earlier in the program, you know, at first the Burton brewers were pulling and brewing with water, I guess, straight from their wells.
Shallow wells. Shallow groundwater.
And then the water character started changing. So what did they do with the water then?
Well, then they put in the deep wells so they could suck the mineral-rich water out, you know, right away. And as your partner, Colin Kaminsky, pointed out, to me, in some personal communications, the brewers there, the water out of the deep wells is really nasty water. They didn't like to deal with it, but with proper dilution, it's good to brew with.
Okay,
and that's one of the problems that you see with the typical Burton profile that you see
on the internet. Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they've got sulfate content in the, you know, 600-800 parts per million range.
Right.
And that's crazy high. Crazy high for brewing. And you really cannot brew a good beer with that. And most brewers have found out that something in the under 400 parts per million range. I think that Tasty prefers something around 350 ppm, and I like 300 because it's kind of modest for sulfate.
Okay,
but you know, that's really what sets it apart. You trying to mimic a true Burton profile is probably going to set you up for failure because there's too much sulfate.
It's going to be too dry a beer, too
It actually has so much sulfate that it's coming across as sulfurous and potentially eggy. You know,
metallic eggy.
You know that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hydrogen sulfide.
So it's not a good thing.
Interesting. Okay. So, were the Burton brewers pre-boiling their water? Were they diluting, or what other?
No, it turns out that water, it doesn't have a whole lot of alkalinity, and the hardness that it has is mostly permanent because of the high sulfate and the high chloride. So you can't really boil it to make it better. It's pretty good for brewing pale ales right out of the tap or right out of the well, as it were.
Yeah.
So that sort of pre-treating didn't happen to the shallow groundwater that they originally started with. But when they started pulling out of the deep wells, then they had to dilute it with some of the river water. And then they created a brewing liquor that was much more suited to brewing beer.
Okay, so they were taking that high mineral, high sulfur groundwater, diluting it with the low mineral river water, then to get back to that favored profile.
Well, and one of the things that I've read in the past was that depending on the brewery, they were all drawing from wells, and one of the things that made a brewery successful, or that they felt was critical to the success, was having a good well and good water that they could draw on, and they counted on that, as being part of their beer and an important part of the brewery location. And somebody could be just across town and they sink their well and they get different water. And, depending on how deep you go and just a lot of little geologic things that kind of, make one well different than another. And so one of the things that they valued was their well and their water supply. And so
absolutely. And that was particularly true in Burton, because there's a lot of breweries that tried to muscle in on the Burton mystique. And, they went down the street a little bit and sunk a well, and they had nothing. They couldn't, water that was not worth brewing with.
Interesting. So with today's brewers looking to recreate, classic pale ales, what recommendations do you have for them?
Well, as I said, I tend to point to something around the 300 part per million sulfate level, and of course, Tasty is happy with 350.
Okay.
But the other thing that's a big secret with Burton waters, the sulfate is very high, but the chloride is really very modest. It's right around 50 ppm.
Okay.
And that's the secret between a water being nice and crisp and dry, or being minerally.
Okay.
In my opinion, Dortmund water is actually somewhat similar to Burton water, except that Dortmund water has like 130 ppm chloride to go with that 300 plus
sulfate.
And,
so that's
Dortmund is reputed to be a minerally water. And that's the secret to minerally water having high sulfate and high chloride.
Okay.
If you want a good Burton water, it's going to be high sulfate with very modest chloride. And the other thing that will be a little bit elevated is the magnesium. And in a pale ale, I feel that magnesium really is one of the things that helps set it apart. Magnesium provides a sort of a astringent bitterness when you're brewing a bitter beer, hey, why not? So magnesium is a good thing in a bitter beer.
Okay. Okay, so that's kind of the, one of the differences in between Burton and London is the proportion of sulfate, the ratio of sulfate to chloride, as well as the total level.
To some degree. I mean, they're, I'm just looking back at the numbers, and mm-hmm. I'd say, yeah, there's a bunch more sulfate. The chloride levels between London and Burton are not terribly far apart, but the sulfate levels are hugely apart.
Okay. So
now, what would you say is more significant to the flavor of the beer, the total level of sulfate and chloride, or, you know, the ratio?
For sure, the total levels are much more important than the ratio. Okay. At some point, you know, you can get your levels so low that the ratio doesn't matter at all. Mm-hmm. And then conversely, if levels are super, super high, well, then you're into the mineral range anyhow, and, well, you're not brewing beer. You're drinking mineral water.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's okay. So you mentioned Dortmund. I mean, so that's in Bavaria. Is that the next region we're going to?
No. It's not in Bavaria. Actually, Dortmund is way up north. In the northern parts of Germany, so way far from Bavaria. But
Bavaria is the south of Germany.
Ah, okay.
Far south. Yeah, but see, that, I gotta that get is to a Europe, good transition.
Well, I'll tell you this. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a short break, and when we come back, we will transition in our world tour from the Isle of England to the
continent.
Continent of Europe.
The
yes.
Southern part of Germany, right after this.
A few things happened 30 years ago.
ARPANET migrated to TCP/IP, and the Internet was born. Revenge of the Jedi was renamed Return of the Jedi and opened in theaters. Mila Kunis and Emily Blunt were born, beginning a rad fantasy in my mind.
But all of that pales next to the fact that HopTech opened its doors and began blowing homebrewers right out of their mash tuns. HopTech doesn't fuck around. Real people shipping awesome shit straight to you. Their new website is fast and easy to navigate. Or just call 800-379-4677 and let badass bitch Jade and brewing brother Roberto blow their warm load of customer service all over you. So visit the site or visit the store in Dublin, California, and support those that support you. Get your brewing on at hoptech.com.
Hey, dude, you know what beer this is?
Oh, no, all the labels are falling off.
Yeah, or the ink has run.
Well, if it's a pale ale, you're good, but stay away from the quote-unquote Belgian.
Oh, man, this guy needs to get some grog tags.
Grog tags are reusable, write-on, wipe-off, commercial-grade bottle labels for your brew. The guys at Grog Tag are homebrewers. They wanted great-looking, sturdy labels for your bottles, buckets, carboys, kegs, and growlers. They also wanted a label that not only looks good, but can be easily removed and reapplied during bottling without that nasty glue residue being left behind. No residue, water-resistant, and ice chest approved. Grog tags stay on in water or an ice chest, and they stay legible. Visit grogtag.com to customize your label or coaster from dozens of different templates for free and see how awesome your bottles can look.
Ugh, it's that pseudo-Belgian.
Yeah, we're getting him some grog tags, dude.
Grog tag. At least your beer will look good. Grogtag.com.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can. Featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
That's it! I've had it!
it. I am never putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contract, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret elite bare bones club where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
Williams Brewing announces their first customer recipe issue since 1991. This free 64-page catalog includes 27 of the best home brewing recipes submitted by their regular customers. Best of all, this paper-only catalog is free for the asking. Just go to williamsbrewing.com and click on the free customer recipe issue link. This offer expires October 18th. While you are on the site, check out some of the latest exclusives like the Williams Oatmeal Stout Malt Extract, the Big Oxygen System, and they even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to williamsbrewing.com to browse their vast selection and enjoy their famous customer service. That's williamsbrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific Time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
Like the Lance Armstrong of the beer world. Except for that nut thing.
This is Brew Strong.
All right, we're back. We're talking, when did we talk during the break? I don't know, did we talk to the break? I think we're getting tired of each other. I think we said much.
Well, I think you're just ridiculing me for my lack of geographic knowledge of Kakana.
Well, there was that, and there was also us talking about beer, which is weird during a break. Normally, it's off time, so we were talking about Heretic sour beer. So you probably just tuned it out.
Oh yeah, it's meaningless to me. Yeah. All right, so we're back. We're talking about Bavaria.
Where's Bavaria? South Germany, you said. Right?
Yes, the southern part of Germany, like Munich and such down around there.
I thought it was a suburb of Transylvania.
Oh, sure, it is.
Yeah. See. I knew what I was talking about.
Moscow, the world traveler. That's why they call him Moscow.
Transylvania is real, though, isn't it? It is a real place?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a real place.
Got that right.
Yep. And it's Sochi's near there, right?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
But anyhow, Bavaria. You know, I started looking at Bavaria by beginning to look at Munich. Munich water. Munich's a famous brewing town, but after I dug into it a little bit, I found out that the water across all of southern Bavaria is all very similar. There's only a little bit of difference between what's produced up by the Alps and down by the Danube River, which sort of bound this Bavaria. But it's a very interesting water, you know. And when you think about Munich, you've got the light styles, the Hefes and the Helles, yeah. And then dark styles, Dunkel and Bock, and yet you have to wonder how in the world are they brewing these beers with such different. With a single water,
yeah.
But that's what I explored when I did this article for Zymergy.
Okay. Well, so what? Tell us about the water of Bavaria. What kind of characterizes it?
Well, it's a super hard water, and it's got a huge amount of alkalinity, and the hardness is just about all from calcium. And as you heard in the last hour, high alkalinity with high calcium means that you can boil that water, and a a whole lot of it just drops right out.
So high temporary hardness then.
Exactly. A lot of temporary hardness, and it, you know, you can actually drop that calcium level so low that it can't go any lower. And the lowest is on the order of 10 or 12 ppm.
Okay.
But in essence, you're still left with a water that has some alkalinity in it. And by some, I mean on the order of about 100 ppm alkalinity as calcium carbonate. Yes.
Yeah.
And actually, yes, that's correct. And the so for the dark beers like Dunkel's and Box, well, that amount of alkalinity is just about right. You know, you hit it with maybe a little bit of acid malt, and you're good to go.
Okay.
But then you say, okay, 100 ppm alkalinity, that's way too darn high for a pale beer. You know, how do they – I know they make great Helles. How are they doing it? Well, it turns out that, you know, the Reinheitsgebot really limits what a German brewer can do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their big tricks is to utilize a decent dose of acid malt, which is a pale malt, which is I'm not sure if I'd call it infused or infected or whatever, with a lot of lactic acid. Okay. And by throwing that in with the grist, in essence, you're using that lactic acid to neutralize all that excess alkalinity.
Okay.
So it turns out, and of course, they're having to add a lot of acid malt in order to drop that thing. And one of the things that I found was that for these German or these Southern Bavarian beers, especially the pale ones, the lactate ion from the lactic acid is a very important component of those beers. So, you know, for a lot of us, we're very worried about, you know, adding too much lactic acid because you'll end up tasting it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we really don't have to worry about it that much. If your water has less than, say, 200 ppm alkalinity, uh-huh, you're probably not going to taste the lactate from the lactic acid that you needed to add to bring that water to a decent brewing liquor.
Okay.
So, you know, the fear of that lactate taste is a little bit overblown.
But still,
that nuance is probably an important feature in these German brews.
I find this fascinating because when I was homebrewing, I would use lactic acid for my adjustment. And people are like, no, you don't want to use lactic because you can taste it and it tastes kind of mm-hmm. sour. And, mm-hmm. and I'm like, no, it seems fine to me. And I yeah. made, you know, some great Munich Dunkel and Helles and all that stuff. And then people are like, no, you know, you ought to try phosphoric. So I tried phosphoric, and I didn't like the taste of the phosphoric compared to the lactic. And I end up going back to the lactic, and I, you know, I love those beers. It's one of my absolute favorites. Is yeah. you know, Great Munich Dunkel and Great Munich Helles and all that. And that is very intriguing to me. I never knew that. That's something I had not heard before, but it explains a lot.
Well, and I started brewing in Tallahassee, Florida, in the alkalinity there was way over 100 ppm, and I used lactic exclusively and brewed some at least first round winning NHC Hefeweizens, and I little did I know at that time that was one of the reasons why they actually were very good is because they used lactic acid. So mm-hmm. One of the secrets to Bavarian brewing is lactic acid.
Right. And it's, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure if we made it clear or not. The way is because they use acid malt. Acid malt is essentially
exactly
made
acid
the
malt.
Lactic acid bacteria on the malt They wet it, let that turn make acid, and then they dry it, and then they can say they're only adding malt to the beer, and it's for the homebrewer, you get yourself some pure lactic acid down at the homebrew shop, and you use that, and you're good. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I guess to its credit, I would say that acid malt probably has more impurities in mm-hmm. terms of maybe a little bread acids and acetic and things like right. that. So it's probably more complex, whereas lactic acid out of the bottle is very pure mm-hmm. and it's not the greatest.
Yeah, Martin. In terms of adjusting the water for these styles with lactic acid, do we have a guideline to give brewers? Are we reducing our alkalinity to zero? Are we reducing our alkalinity to 50? What kind of ballpark are we looking for here?
Well, you're reducing the alkalinity to roughly 100. And then what you're doing is adding lactic acid. Well, and it's kind of confusing here. I apologize this, but you really have to have alkalinity in the water so that then you can neutralize it with the lactate or lactic acid in order to provide the lactate ion so uh-huh. that you can actually have that nuance in your beer.
Okay.
But overall, Bavarian waters are very low in everything else. They actually do have a little bit of magnesium in there too, between 10 and 20 parts per million. And remember mentioned for the Burton beers, 20, 30, 40 ppm for the magnesium. So magnesium is not necessarily a terrible thing in brewing water.
Right, right.
But then the chloride and the sulfate, they're all both low. Chloride's around 10, sulfate's around 20. Sodium is almost non-existent. So this is only a couple of notches off of a Pilsen water. But the big differentiator was that it had a huge amount of calcium, a huge amount of alkalinity, and you could knock it out with the pre-boiling, but you couldn't knock out enough. And there you had to throw in the acid malt or lactic acid in order to take it the rest of the way.
Okay, so you're taking a alkalinity after boiling of about 100 and then using lactic acid to reduce that down to about zero.
Potentially, yeah.
Okay. So you're going, and so
and
you're...
And of course, that's for the really pale, pale beers.
For the Helles and
For the Dunkels in the box, well, you might not even have to
use the lactic.
Add much at all.
Okay. Or just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Okay. And again, the goal for the brewer is not to hit a particular number of alkalinity with an acid addition, but to look for a mash pH.
Or, of course.
Yeah, yes. Work pH.
And let's go back to the Burton water for just a second, or Burton Brewing. One of the things that Colin Kaminsky, your partner mm-hmm. on the water book, right. Points out, that... to accentuate hop bitterness, you really have to keep the mash pH and the kettle wort pH up at around 5.4 in order to really accentuate the hops. Because when the pH gets really low,
the hop bitterness falls
that
off.
pH will sort of prevent the hop bitterness from coming out.
Yep. Yep.
Now, in these malty beers like this these Bavarian styles, then suddenly, a 5.4 is actually a little bit too high. Okay. Then you're wanting to target a pH more like 5.2, and that's where so you're really sharpening the malt character. You're de-emphasizing the hop bittering, mm-hmm. and you end up with a really fine beer.
Okay.
So a little bit lower for those malt forward beers, a little bit higher for the hop forward beers.
Okay.
Well, that's fascinating. Yeah, let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the waters of Britain and Bavaria right after this.
And now, Northern Brewer presents What If Homebrewers Ruled the World?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll follow me, I will lead you into the gallery area. Now, the first piece up for sale today is a Jamil Zainashev original, a bottle of 1997 vintage Evil Twin.
Oh, I say!
A bidding for this one-of-a-kind piece will start at £7,000. And if you'll continue to follow me, ladies and gentlemen, I can show you a rather abstract piece from Bay Area brewer Justin Crossley. It's a German Doppelbach entitled Justin's Giant Bock. The brewer's notes here indicate that this beer had excellent mouthfeel.
That's just a crazy dream. Or is it? With Northern Brewer, a thirsty nation can craft its own ale and lager for the greater good of mankind. Northern Brewer, the home of superior customer service and the finest selection of home brewing goods for the future.
Hi, I'm Jamil Zainashev, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Home Brewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your home brew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, Cretans. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
There's an app on the iPhone for just about everything, including beer. Apps for finding a pint of beer. Apps that look like you're drinking a pint of beer. And now, there's an app for brewing a pint of beer. Introducing BrewPal, the most all-inclusive beer brewing app for professionals and hobbyists that fits in your pocket and goes wherever you do. Recipe formulation that can be imported and exported with a customizable database. Mash and sparge calculations, yeast pitching rates, carbonation tables, and more. Available right now for less coin than a pound of grain. See BrewPal in action at brewpal.info and download it for your iPhone at a special introductory price right now. BrewPal, all the brewing software you need, right in your pocket.
A vial of White Labs yeast is the key to your best beer. When you open a vial of White Labs yeast, you're giving your beer its best chance for a perfect fermentation. In addition to their already incredible variety of yeasts, White Labs is proud to announce WLP-90, San Diego's super yeast, now available year-round. WLP-90 is super clean, super fast fermenting, with low esters, and has a neutral flavor and aroma profile. It's alcohol tolerant and highly flocculent. For more of the latest White Labs news, click over to whitelabs.com, where you can read reviews of yeast, learn in the lab section, and join the customer club. And if you should find yourself in San Diego, White Labs has a brand new training facility for craft brewers and home brewers alike. whitelabs.com. Discover yeast, nutrients, enzymes, and more for commercial breweries, home brewers, and homebrew stores. White Labs. It's all in the vial.
Hi, I'm Jason Harris, the proud owner here at Keystone Homebrew Supply. We're thrilled to be entering our 20th year of supplying this great industry. And to show you, the Brewing Network Army, how much we appreciate your support, we're offering you 10% off your first order on our website, keystonehomebrew.com. Just use coupon code BNARMY at checkout, and I'll get your order out the same day. My goal at Keystone Homebrew Supply has always been to have a complete supply of everything a brewer could want. When you place your order online or when you come into our store, it's It's our goal to have everything on your list and more. One aspect of KeystoneHomebrew.com that we're really excited about is the ability to fulfill customers' exact grain bills. Do you hate to wait? Keystone Homebrew Supply can get your precious yeast and hops to you within just one day if you live between Connecticut and Virginia, and within 2 days east of the Mississippi. KeystoneHomebrew.com.
Coupon code DNRB.
I'm Jason Harris, and I approve this message.
Back to the beer guys that make other beer guys look like wine guys. Brew strong.
All right. In the break, we talked about Pixley and Hooterville. We talked about dicking around. Mm-hmm. And speaking of dicking around,
our fine sponsor.
How about our fine sponsor, AdamandEve.com. I'll tell you, for a limited time only, if you go there and use the offer code Jamil, J-A-M-I-L, at checkout, you get one item, 50% off. You buy the one item, you get 50% off. And right. Then you're going to get a free extra gift. So central, I can't mention it. You're going to get free shipping on the whole thing. And well, you're going to get three free adult DVDs of your choosing. You get to choose from genres such as anal, amateur, Asian, big breasts, big butts, bisexual, junky, coeds, fetish, gay, interactive, POV, lesbian, MILFs, etc.
That sounds
pretty sexy, the etc. Just saying. So you can take your mobile phone even and go and get yourself some goodies at AdamandEve.com. And again, use the offer code Jamil. You get the 50% off one item, and that's all the money you're paying. You're going to get the free extra gift. You're going to get the free shipping. You get the three free DVDs, all for using the offer code Jamil. AdamandEve.com. All right, so we're talking about the wonderful waters of Bavaria and Burton on Trent.
Mm-hmm.
And what have we learned? What haven't we covered about the waters there? What's the... I don't know. I'm at a loss here.
Where do we go next, Martin?
Well, I can tell you that I'm sampling a Bavarian Hefeweizen right now. Bavarian breakfast, which happened to be, I have to use RO water because my tap water here in Indiana really stinks.
Mm.
And you know, RO water doesn't have much alkalinity. So it ends up that I had to sort of cheat my way into creating a water that had that lactate in it. So I had to create a special mixture. Took regular chalk, calcium carbonate, added lactic acid to it in the proper proportions to create the lactate component that I then added to my brewing liquor. And it really worked. You know, this tastes like my old Tallahassee beers, which were really nice.
Okay.
Well, walk us through.
How you do that?
Give us some numbers and some steps as to how you do so our listeners could repeat what you've done to make a great Hefeweizen brewing water.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot here.
Yes, we are. You shouldn't have been drinking. You should have been studying.
Article, there is a description of that, and I wish.
Is that the Blue Danube?
Well, yes, and of course, because we're dealing with the Danube River in Bavaria, we should be playing classical music, but then I think everybody would be asleep. But those of you, oh, here it is. Okay. To create that lactate component in an RO or distilled water, you mix 0.35 grams of chalk with 0.6 milliliters of 88% lactic mixture would be added to each gallon of your mashing water.
Of RO mashing water.
Of RO mashing water, and that will impart that roughly 100 ppm lactate to the brewing water that you're really looking for.
Okay, so 0.35 grams of calcium carbonate and 0.6 milliliters? 6 milliliters.
Yes, 0.6. 0.6. Of 80, 0.6 milliliters of 88% lactic.
Okay, per gallon.
Per gallon of mesh and water.
And of RO water, and then you just go ahead and toss that in along with your water, your grains, and off you go.
Yep, and as I mentioned, the typical Bavarian water really doesn't have much else in it. As a matter of fact, all I added to my my RO water when I created this batch, a little bit of Epsom salts, because the magnesium is actually a little bit higher than the calcium here, and a little bit of sodium chloride. And again, they were teeny, teeny additions.
So you're talking like less than 50 ppm end levels.
Right. And the other thing to remember is that because, for instance, in this Hefeweizen, I really didn't want calcium in the water. I want high calcium causes yeast to flocculate. Well, guess what? If I'm creating a Hefeweizen with that yeastiness, I actually want that yeast to not be able to flocculate. So keeping the calcium low is actually a very important component.
Interesting. Okay.
Great. I think that's a wonderful show full of wonderful information. I think we'd love to have you back to do some more shows on a couple more brewing cities if you're ever up for it.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, we'll be in touch on that.
Yeah.
You folks that enjoy this show, you should be in touch with our fine sponsors like Blickman Engineering. Check them out, blickmanengineering.com. They're innovating your brew day. So tell them how much you appreciate that they pay for this show so you don't have to. And if you got a few extra bucks to spend, head on over to the Brewing Network store. There's lots of good stuff that you can get there. You get great books on water. You get books on brewing. You get shirts, hats, glassware, hoodies, growlers, all sorts of cool stuff. And when you do, not only do you get something neat, you get something that the profits go to the bottom line of the Brewing Network and help pay for these shows. So if you got the bucks to spare, spend freely on the Brewing Network store. Until then, brew strong, everybody.
Brew strong.